Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the Ramblers!
Woo. Yes! Something for everybody there. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second half of the Football Ramble Live. We're talking World Cup, you lucky things. We've suffered domestic football for 4 years, and the World Cup is back. FIFA have had a competition running in which entries needed to come up with a slogan which would go on the side of teams' buses, specifically a specific slogan for a specific team. Here are some examples. The Australia one says, "Socceroos hopping our way into history." A bit rubbish.
Gone for a pun there.
It's a bit. Ivory Coast picked things up with elephants charging towards Brazil. I quite like that one.
They're going to drown, aren't they? Yeah.
Well, you put it like that, Jim. Japan, they've kind of upped the ante. Samurai, the time has come to fight.
Very Street Fighter, that one.
Yeah. Yes. South Korea, a little bit more family friendly with Enjoy It, Reds.
Just enjoy it. Yeah. Just enjoy it.
Defeated. It's a long flight.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're taking the piss out of Liverpool.
Yeah. What countries are you playing? Just enjoy it.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's what we do every time. Cameroon, slightly menacing. A lion remains a lion.
But not when it's a jar.
Yeah. You said it in the most unintimidating way ever. If they say it like that, it's not going
to
be offensive.
It's written down, so it's open to interpretation.
A lion remains a lion.
France have gone for... this is what the entries... this is what they came up with. Impossible is not a French word. Absolutely, it isn't the French word.
That's
the most French thing. And Russia, quite brilliantly, have just put, "No one can catch us." Presumably quite a reckless driver they have there. So, chaps, what World Cup bus slogan would you come up with, Jim?
I would have Nigeria, mm-hmm. and I would go, "Yellow card, 50 grand. Red card, 100 grand. Have a bang on that."
Oh, dear. Yep, a good start. He didn't say anything, so men in suits, sit down. That was okay, I think. Luke, what are you going
to... I thought I would keep it close to the home and go for England, and yeah. I've come up with, come on, how bad can it really be? And the question mark is important. Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. Pete?
I was going to go for either throwing patio furniture since 1967.
England.
And I also had one. What if our skin suddenly starts rejecting our bones and we have no bones and we can't stand up because we're just a load of blobby messes? P.S. Come on, England.
That's a long coach.
That question's yet to be asked at a press conference.
Yeah. Also, you don't need a P.S. on a bus.
That is very good. I went for one for England when they inevitably go out, just saying, "Daft little bus, silly tournament, fuck off." It's too easy.
Don't clap, Richard Keys.
Or you could have you could have a Scotland team bus just on the side saying, no players, can't be asked. Come on, get on."
We're coming anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Marvellous. So the World Cup, yes, World Cup. Group A.
The World Cup.
Come on, do you know what I mean? Absolutely marvellous. Yeah, there we go.
There's a generation of football fans younger than us who I think the Champions League is the pinnacle.
And nonsense.
They don't get as excited about the World Cup.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I'd like to distance myself.
Pete, were you going
to
say anything?
I just want to know what the World Cup is.
Well, that's what we're here to talk
about. It's on your notes, mate.
Yeah. If you'd have read the notes.
reading?
it's a place in Berkshire. If
look at his little face.
I was surprised myself there.
The man in the front row there has just gone, no.
Yeah. No.
Oh, sleep well tonight. Let's ramble through the World Cup. I mean, Group A seems to be a good position to start with, but, I mean, you know, we can go through the groups at will. I mean, Brazil. Start with Brazil. Danny Alves
not
was asked.
Not a chance.
No?
No.
Not a chance. Danny Alves was asked about the massive expectation that his country is going to have to have on their shoulders, of course, and he just said, it's a delicious pressure.
Everything's delicious to Danny Alves.
Yeah.
He eats off the floor. It's fine. You just they've got fined $8,000. It's fine.
Okay.
Racism's fine.
That's fine. That's fine.
I was getting annoyed with that. And it's gone now.
It's gone. Yeah, $8,000.
About $8,000.
Gone. Dead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. David Luiz said, I love to live with the pressure. That's my life. I chose my job. So let's do it. And I'm like, damn right. That's what I like to hear. Brazil, many people's favourites. I sound a bit boring, but it's probably fair, isn't it, Luke?
Yeah, I think
they look strong. They do look strong, actually.
It's hard to look past them. I think the only thing I would say is that they haven't had any really competitive games leading up to this tournament because they're hosts, of course. And the other thing, they're a fly in the ointment from their point of view. Well, it's two, actually. One is the pressure they'll be under because of the thing that happened in 1950 and all that other stuff that more serious podcasts tend to talk about. The other thing is that they're going to play probably Spain or Netherlands in the second round.
Or Chile, even.
And they could get Chile, of course, and they're not going to be easy games, any of those. So from that point of view, it's not all plain sailing for them. Of course, when you get into the quarterfinal of the Cup, into the later stages, it's anyone's game. It's difficult to predict what's going to happen. But you look at the group, you look at the second round, because you can plot that out quite easily, and you think, actually, it's quite tough for Brazil in the second round, and they're going to be under a lot of pressure. If they do play Netherlands, for example, Netherlands will want to repeat what they did in 2010. You know? So, I mean, it's not... Sort of
but it could even be harder in the quarterfinal, where they might face England.
I don't think they'll be worried about that, mate.
Would you not?
Did you see the Neymar penalty, where he kicked the ball in with a standing foot? That's a broken leg waiting to happen. I do not want to see a player doing that.
And then Nye could make him play in the final.
Yeah. Risk everything, including your own broken leg, please.
Take him to David Luiz.
If you look at some of the players that they've left out, Robinho, Kaká, Coutinho, Rafinha, Lucas Moura, that's why I think they're strong.
Did Luke...
It's who they've left out rather than...
Did Lucas Moura non-goal mean he didn't get in the World Cup?
Yeah, if that had gone in...
Ryan Fraley's just rubbing his hands together. That was the interception that kept on giving.
In midfield, they do look very strong. You've got the Chelsea contingent, Ramirez, Willian, Oscar, and then Hernandez. We're a big fan of Hernandez. Fernandinho, of course. Paulinho did well to get in, didn't he, Jim?
He did, yeah.
I mean, he's not had a terrible season for Spurs. But,
no, that is a bit of a surprise when you look at some of the players that have been left out.
Well, Scolari just has his favourites, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think what seems to have happened is he told Paulinho ages ago that he's going to be in the squad, and then Paulinho spent the rest of the season trying not to get injured.
Well, he did that with... not quite like that, but Julio Cesar.
Yeah,
I mean, he was third choice? Or whatever it was at QPR. Rob Green was getting ahead of him, and Scolari said, look, you're going to have to play some football.
Yeah.
So he went to Canada.
But he sticks to players he knows, and also Scolari's very good at sort of getting that siege mentality together, isn't he? And really rallying his team up.
I think he also wants a fresh-feeling squad, because, you know, they've not played competitive football in a long, long time, so they've had so much pressure at home. I mean, you think of the pressure the press put on England here. Can you imagine it in Brazil, where, you know, it's absolutely everything to them. So I think he wants to make his own mark on this squad, especially, you know, having actually won the World Cup with them before. I guess he wants to do it again his own way with new faces.
Yeah, I mean, off the field, there's a lot going on in Brazil, of course, and we saw that at the Confederations Cup, and that will no doubt... Well, yeah, it's a very...
Sorry, Roger Johnson.
Point there.
That's the netball ramble.
Next door, yeah. Better than this shit.
Yeah. What was I saying again, Brazil? There's stuff going off the field. Sorry. Actually, I think that rallies the Brazilian squad. People say that can distract them and whatnot, but they found that actually brought, in a weird way, the country together. And so don't be too surprised that Brazil kind of feed off that kind of thing. I mean, the home support for Confederations Cup was absolutely phenomenal.
Didn't Fred say he'd kill a lion every day to get in the squad?
And well, there's a lot of dead lions because he's in the squad.
I'm just thinking about Cameroon's slogan. A lion remains a lion.
Oh, whether alive or dead.
Yeah.
Maybe
there's only a reason to kill a lion if the lions are in front of you in the squad running, surely. Like, if they're about to get in the squad.
There's absolutely no need to do it.
Yeah, we don't want to kill lions.
Let's hope they don't get Cameroon, because they'll just be charging into that dressing room going, I will show that you are domitable.
Yeah, they're in the same group as them, Jim.
Ah, well, bad news.
That says that there.
Yeah, well, you know. It's not just Pete that doesn't read it, mate.
Marcus, I'll read it.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Mexico are in the same group as well. Their players have been banned from eating beef at the tournament.
I'd pull out the squad.
Yeah, indeed.
I would pull out of the squad.
Well, five of their players were withdrawn.
Beef is for life, not just the summer.
Beef doesn't always remain beef, of course, if you leave it too long. But five of their players were withdrawn from the CONCACAF Cup for testing positive for a substance. You're not allowed beef at that tournament. But yeah, apparently there's a substance that makes the livestock. They put it in livestock to make the meat leaner.
It's banned substance leaner as well.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know. But Hernandez, he'll be there. Peralta is quite an exciting forward.
They seem to be like Chicharito and
Peralta.
And Peralta together. They're both the same player, basically. They just go towards goal now.
Yeah. But Peralta, I mean, he scored two goals in the Olympic final against Brazil and has a pretty good scoring record for Mexico. I think it's like 16 in 30 games, something.
You're talking about Hernandez, yeah?
No, I'm talking about Peralta.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say Hernandez needs a move, really, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, Mexico didn't qualify very well, and so they're going to really just need to hit around. Right, they've got a tough group.
But the type of side, they know how to perform at a World Cup, don't they?
Yeah,
Seldom do they go out.
They're part of the furniture there.
They are.
It would have been sad if they hadn't qualified.
Mm.
Yeah, but you look at that group and you think there's not really a gimme in there, is there?
No.
It's going to be tough for them. They're going to have to hit the ground running, they really are.
Yeah, indeed. 41-year-old Blanco is not going to be there, sadly. That's a shame, isn't it? Blanco was a part of the
Why don't you name all of the Mexico players that are like 50, 60?
Yeah, but
he's 41, Marcus.
You're basically saying you want Blanco in there because he did that thing with the ball at that World Cup. He can't do that anymore.
That was in 98. That's how long ago that was. He's taken 58 penalties in his career and only missed two. And in the last World Cup, he became the third oldest player to score at World Cup finals.
Good.
There you are, you see.
The bad news from Group A is that Nico Kranjčar's injured.
Yeah, that is a shame for Croatia.
The amount of men I have seen on Twitter with Nico Kranjčar's Panini sticker as their avatar. he is the ultimate man crush player in the World Cup. Yeah. He's not going to be there.
Yeah, that is a shame. Croatia, they came through a playoff, of course, but I quite fancy them to go through that group with Brazil.
They've got a lot of trouble. I mean, Rakitic, for example, is a superb player. You know, yeah. a lot of quality there.
I mean, Cameroon, it's a bit of a shame because Kanabiak was cut from the squad. You maybe know that name because his father, Andre, played at 1990 and 94, and of course his uncle, Francois Omambik, played in the World Cups throughout the 90s. So a bit of a shame, actually, that the family...
Yeah, he played for Cameroon against England in the quarter, didn't he?
Yeah. He did, yeah. He was an excellent player in the 90 World Cup. But Kanabiak, he's quite young, and he's only 24, so hopefully he'll be around in years to come. Group B is a very tasty
Let's
group.
Let's skip Spain. It's too scary.
Genuinely is terrifying, isn't it? I mean, Negredo, Llorente, Navas didn't get in there. And you do think to yourself, bloody hell.
It's like they're taking a piss.
Yeah.
Like, look who we can leave out. They announced who they left out.
Tom Cleverley made our standby. I think Tom Cleverley's not a bad player. I think.
But he doesn't deserve a clap.
Spain should bring like a five-a-side team as well, just to sort of just play the local.
At half time, really they can play at half time on the pitch.
Yeah, that was a good point. What about the Netherlands? They're a funny one, aren't they? I mean, they had a terrible Euros last time round. Louis van Gaal in charge. Van der Vaart's been ruled out through injury. Is it Daley Blint? Blint's son?
Yeah.
That's quite nice.
I like how when fathers sort of name their kids a slightly similar name.
Yeah.
So you got, did you say Danny Blint? No.
Blint. Tim Krul's going to be there.
Yeah.
Hasn't George Foreman, the boxer, got like eight kids with the same name as him?
Is that right?
Yeah, I think he's the absolute zenith of sort of egotistical naming of children. Yeah.
Also, Danny Dyer called his daughter Danny Dyer, but spelt D-A-N-I, then had a tattoo of her name, so it looks like he's got a tattoo of his own name, but has got it spelt wrong.
Which is well within the realms of possibility.
The naughty cunt.
Not much swearing, lads. Come on.
I thought we were going to avoid a C word.
I was going to say, Netherlands qualified very well.
They did qualify very well.
Bring it back.
Leroy Fur's in there.
He's done well.
Another shitty player.
He's done very well in getting that squad. Championship player. Come on.
Yeah, right.
He's wearing a number 10 shirt with Norwich and he's performing like that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be in the Netherlands squad in prison.
It's like they've taken him along for spare body parts just in case they have another Van der Vaart.
Ron Vlaar is there as well.
I love Ron Vlaar's name because he sounds like some sort of alien warlord. Ron Vlaar.
It's Depends what literature you read,
doesn't it? Oh, come on, talk about the Australia.
Go on then, Australia. Australia were the first team to arrive in Brazil. Will that give them a little bit of an advantage, Jim? Yeah.
No, Mark.
Yeah, I thought that's what you'd say.
They heard a rumour the beer was going to run out. Get there now.
Yeah, that's true. They will have a good time to start with, certainly. Their former captain, Paul Wade, he waded in with these words of encouragement to the team ahead of the... That wasn't that bad, was it? That was off the cuff. He said, as
really?
As a footballer, you have to pride in yourself and your performance and helping your mates out. Good stuff. That all comes into play, absolutely, Paul. But right now, without a doubt, we're going to get hammered. But does he mean beer? It goes with your theory that they got their own.
And that's why the next player, he's not affiliated with the squad.
Yeah, the Aussies have got a tough time in there. Chile, though. But, I mean, people's dark horses, perhaps. You know, Sampaoli, what a canny operator he is. Their big names, of course, are Vidal and Sanchez. Bojazor, I wouldn't put down as a big name, but we all do know him.
It's a long name.
It is a long name.
A bit of a spell.
Gary Medel.
Another championship.
He kept himself out of trouble this season in the Premier League to such an extent that his team got relegated.
Come on, Gary.
He is saving it up. Don't worry.
I think people were just thinking, we're expecting more from you here.
Yeah, that's true. When they lost to Germany, Yogi Love, he said his team had not been dominated like that before. Chile was superb, and they came to win.
I liked it.
Yeah, he whispered that in my ear.
Germany won. Didn't Germany win that game?
They did, but the way they certainly beat England 2-0 quite handsomely at Wembley. But Chile are an intriguing side because no side really is quite the unit like they are. I mean, they are fantastic, very tactically, very fluid. They've got some good players. Yeah. But they all understand the game. And one of the, I forget which England player it was, said they're quite crafty. They give away little fouls all over the pitch. So if they lose possession, which is quite rare, especially when playing against England, they can all little foul and get back into position. They're very, very...
I think with Chile, when they lose possession, especially against England, they can get it back whenever they want.
They can give it away for a rest.
We should bring smoke bombs.
That's true. I quite fancy Chile to go through there, actually.
Well, they qualify quite handily. I think
the Netherlands might miss out on the second round again.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, Spain are that good, surely. And I really do rate the Chileans. I really do.
Also, in Alexis Sanchez, they do have an incredibly outstanding player there. Like, he has had such a good season.
And Vidal,
he's grown so much. Of course, Vidal is just, he pulls those strings so well.
What, for Juventus, he's been brilliant.
Well, that goal that Sanchez scored in the final game of the season against Atletico is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, you thought that was going to be a goal that was going to win the league, and you'd be happy about that.
Yeah.
You know, every single affiliation and affection I have for Atletico Madrid was just rubbed out.
Blimey, O'Reilly. Well, Group C is Colombia, Greece, Ivory Coast and Japan. Aboué man, he's missed out. He hasn't made the Ivory Coast squad. Jimmy will be gutted.
Yeah, well, everyone will be gutted, surely. He'll still be there, though, taking instruction from the Colombian, Greek and Japanese managers, I would think.
Will he dress up as a tiger?
Of course he will.
Hopefully Fred won't think he's a lion.
Who knows? He could do anything. He could fly in as the Colombian Birdman just to confuse everyone.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
The Colombian Birdman should be back. It's first time since 1998, I think.
That's what Falcao's going to be doing now.
Oh, it's such a shame Falcao's injured.
He's going to strap him up.
Yeah.
The Ivory Coast squad's so old.
It is very old. It really is. It's such a shame.
They've turned to ivory.
But it is such a shame for the Ivory Coast because 2002 they had a great team and they were drawn with, it was Argentina and the Netherlands. And, they were out of that tournament before it really got started. And that was genuinely a shame because they could have done something if they were given a nicer draw. 2006 they were pitted against Brazil and Portugal. Again, a very, very tough draw. This time round, the draw is actually a little bit kinder. But as you say, the squad is older. I mean, Yaya Touré has been fantastic this season for Manchester City, but he's got players behind him who can defend.
Yep.
And with Ivory Coast, I mean, the other day they played a friendly, they looked very dodgy, to say the least. And it's a pre-tournament friendly, I grant you, but when I first looked at that, I thought, Colombia and Ivory Coast will go through. But actually, I'd maybe sway more towards Japan.
Yeah.
Pete, you went to Japan recently. What's the word on the street?
Well, it's not about the street, Marcus. It's about the football pitch.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't seem to like Shinji Kagawa as much as I thought they would. I thought he'd be like this massive hero, but talking to a couple of the locals, they're like, he's all right.
Yeah.
They're more...
Can you speak Japanese, though?
It's going.
It could be
just screaming. Shinji Kagawa. Shinji Kagawa.
No, you're all right, mate. Yeah.
I don't think they called the police because they don't like Shinji Kagawa.
But you know, they had an excellent World Cup last time. They had a decent World Cup the last time they were in it as well. Honda, I think, is just one of a genuine world class player, I think.
And they all could play England in the second round, so I mean, they're going to be reasonably confident.
That
about
is a good carrot, isn't it?
It's such a shame that Falcao's not going to be there because, I mean, Jimmy was one of the players you were looking forward to.
Absolutely,
most.
Yeah, because I mean, his whole season's been a disaster really since getting injured, and it's such a shame. Is he 28 now?
28,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, this is the you know, if he's 32 at the next World Cup, he won't have the powers he should have now. It's such a shame. There's a few big players missing. Obviously, Zlatan. But, you know, I'm going to try not to get too sad about it because it's the World Cup and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's very true. They've got a player at Colombia called McNelly Torres, which I quite like.
Well, there you go.
But he's a good... But James Rodriguez and Jackson Martinez are excellent players. Yeah. And Martinez is a good going forward. So
they're far from a one-man team.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Colombia...
They could do something, Colombia.
I think Colombia is sort of quite fancy. When people got bored of having Belgium as their dark horses, they sort of moved on to Colombia.
But when Colombia played Belgium in that friendly, yeah, they dominated them. Okay, it's a friendly, but still, though, it's impressive to go to Belgium.
I think Colombia have got quality, and I think out of that group, I think they'll top the group.
Yeah.
You wonder how much further than that they're going to go, though, because if they, I don't know, well, they could play England, couldn't they? I mean, who knows? But I think they've got a lot of quality. I think Falcao's a huge miss, and of course he is. Mm. But it's a reasonably weak group. If you look at Greece essentially went through qualification, qualified pretty well, but stunk the place out doing it.
They got Mitroglou, though.
Well, you don't get much chance to do that in the World Cup. You only get three games, and you've got to really do something. And Greece just can't score. You see the amount of goals they scored in qualification. I've got it there, but I can't be able to find it. Yep. It's too much paper. I think they scored like 12 goals in 10 games.
They're like
Liechtenstein, their group. they really got to be doing better than that.
Oh, they're there, though, aren't they? They're qualifying.
Yeah, they're there, exactly. They're
qualifications are qualifications are qualifications. I just think they say
they're at the dance. Yep. But I don't think they're going home with anyone.
Yeah, fair enough.
The rest of us tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Well, whoever qualifies from Group C will play someone from Group D, which could be England. They're in there with Uruguay, Italy, and Costa Rica, of course. England and Italy, their hotels are having problems with food at the moment, which is quite worrying. Italy's base had out-of-date food confiscated. I like to think it was binned, not confiscated. Yeah. And
I'll be taking that. Who are you?
Yeah, that's a good point. In England's hotel, butter, salmon, and Parma ham were seized.
Does Parma ham go off?
I don't know.
I thought that's better.
Parma ham very much goes off.
That's why I did out of vomiting.
Until we got to Parma ham, I thought that was the standby list. The hotel was also fined. This is where England are going to be staying. Fined for not providing guests with condoms.
If the Amazon River bursts, they're going to have to wear those condoms on their feet.
An FA spokesman said the England chef has visited the Royal Tulip Hotel several times and is happy with the cleanliness of the facilities.
Only the most delicious cockroaches will be.
That's right. Yeah.
You can see.
He's also impregnated seven women. But,
no, that's not true.
He will also closely supervise all the players' food intake. I like to think he's just watching the meeting.
Did you say that a betting company paid Stephen Hawking space money to come up with plans on how to win
a formula?
Yeah, a formula. So his plans are plain red. It makes you more confident.
That's our away kit. Good.
And we are away.
Don't play at altitude. I'm struggling to see how he can get out of that.
You don't really choose it, do you?
No. Don't play when it's hot.
Well, that's Manal's out of the question.
And one useful piece of advice was...
Don't tell the other team you're playing.
Go.
Yeah.
But he also said during penalties, velocity is nothing without placement. He said... He said if only I'd whispered this in Chris Waddle's ear before he took his penalty all those years ago. I'm glad he didn't. You got Paul Gascoigne crying in the centre circle. You hear this robot in your ear. Whack it.
Whack it with placement, though.
Oh, dear. Hodgson's encouraged all the England players to sing the national anthem. Do we care about that? Do we like that? Some people do like to see the England players belting it out.
If it stops those people being really angry and piling pressure on the players, then yeah, great, do it.
Is that the least? Is that the most we expect? Yeah. Are people going to go away from this if we get knocked out of the group or whatever? People are going to go, well, they sung the national anthem three times.
It does worry me that instead of practicing penalties, we're forming choirs.
Yeah, that's right.
But in the article, there was a picture of the England team arriving and Baines was there with his guitar on the back.
Yeah. It's always one.
Indie footballer ever.
Yeah, that's right.
Does he still do his Everton blog? Well, obviously not. I wouldn't think so.
Who knows?
Right now, they're basically sat round a fire in the grounds of the England Hotel in Miami. Yep. He's banging out No Woman, No Cry. And people are trying to think of excuses of how to go back to their room. And he keeps looking at them. Yeah. Like, really earnestly as
join
he's playing.
In. Where's my capo?
Yeah.
More does he not realise that he can buy guitars over there? He's a millionaire.
I think in many ways, I think Leighton Baines turn up with his guitar is the most pressing issue facing the England squad right now.
Where's Miles Kane?
I was going to try and make a point about how Hodgson seems to be preparing the media for the fact that he might drop Rooney.
I think that's a good point.
No, it's because the guitar thing's usurped it.
Oh, okay.
It's right. Much
sorry
more,
about
don't
that.
Don't give Rooney the guitar.
No.
Yeah, whatever you do.
He'll do a few Stereophonics numbers. it'll be interesting to see how England line up. And people, we spoke about this on the podcast, how they've been a bit nasty to Hodgson, and we're a fan of Hodgson. He's dragged England away from the 4-4-2, and I've actually changed my mind what I think he'll go for in the starting lineup. I thought he was going to do.
You told him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he always listens to me. The 4-2-3-1 with Rooney behind Sturridge. I think he might actually go when Wilshere came on against Peru. Okay, it's a friendly, and England were 3-0 up. He's the only player, perhaps, that England have who gets the ball, brings it out. Because when Gerrard and Henderson are in there, they're not ball carriers, really.
No.
And they're great at other things, but that's not what they do. You don't have somebody who can take the ball and create something and help let the others get into space. I think if Rooney plays in front of those two, there's a bit of a gap in between. Because Rooney is a forward at the end of the day. He's not an attacking midfielder. And I think a midfield three is crucial. And I think Hodgson will hopefully wise up to that. So if you had the three of Gerrard, Henderson and Wilshere, I think that's a very well-balanced midfield. And Henderson can also break forward. He's not a defensive midfielder. Mm. He's, jack-of-all-trades is a little bit harsh, but he's all action, if you know what I mean. I think he may play Rooney wide left. Well, not wide left, on the left, more cutting-in role, because Baines has the freedom. And then Sturridge and possibly Sterling.
Around and stuff, I do actually think England will do okay.
I think it's genuinely an exciting squad.
I think, obviously, if you look at, say, Italy as the first game, Italy are a great, great team, of course. They've won it reasonably recently, but they do have a tendency to stink the place out. I mean, to use the grease thing, they do have a tendency to go off the boil, not perform, and they start very slow, they start cold. Mm. And if someone said to you, England have got to play Italy in the World Cup this summer, when would you like to play them? You'd say first game.
I think Italy will be happy with the draw against England, and they'll build from that.
I think England will probably be quite. It's so important not to lose your first game.
Absolutely.
It's so important. Absolutely. I think Uruguay obviously got good players, but you've got, you could argue that Godin's probably been the best centre-back in Europe this season, maybe.
I mean, Lugano.
He's certainly been up there.
Lugano's a funny
difficult
one.
But he's very important for them at international level.
Yes.
And they've got a good understanding together. But Uruguay aren't without their weaknesses. I don't think England should fear Uruguay. Right. They certainly shouldn't fear a sort of half-fit Suarez. Right?
I think people are forgetting about Cavani, though, aren't they? Where they're focusing so much on Luis Suarez being very, very fit. But I'd imagine Roy Hodgson will remember him.
Forlan is there as well. I mean, he's slightly older, but still got great World Cup pedigree. I think when you look at England, all joking aside, there is reason to have a little bit of optimism. And Uruguay and Italy, it's not the hardest group. I'd say Group B and the, I think it's Group G with the Germans.
Well, the second round game will be won.
They've lucked out in the second round. Effectively, I mean, you look at we talked about Brazil route, with Chile, the Netherlands and Spain.
Because in 2010, if England had won their group, they still would have played Ghana, wouldn't they?
Yes,
and they probably could have got beaten there as well. So it's it's a much easier draw all round, really.
Indeed.
We're looking forward to England at the World Cup. Yeah. It's quite an interesting squad. There are so many different potential games he could go with.
But do you not think they're a likable side this
absolutely.
Time?
Absolutely, in a way that they've not been for a long time. Like Jagielka, Cahill, Baines in the back. Like, that's just like, yeah, it's it, as you say,
I don't think you can get rid of John Terry and not become more likable.
It's impossible.
That's a masterstroke straight away. Hodgson probably thought, that's an easy win.
I can either get rid of one John Terry, I'll get 11 of them and just go past infinity.
Yeah,
and then back round again.
Get rid.
Yeah,
it's a matter of physics, isn't it?
I think with Uruguay and Italy, actually, you look at their squads and it's certainly with Italy, it's a far cry from what we've seen before. And you think actually England could do okay. Then you remember they've got Prandelli as manager, and Uruguay have got Tabárez as manager. Wonderful tacticians. Got a lot
of sleeve. Again, I mean, Prandelli obviously has. Has a more sort of attacking side than you'd expect from a traditional Italian team. Yeah. But in that first game, I think he'll take a draw. And I wouldn't be surprised if he even set up to get one. Mm. So fingers crossed they don't try.
Do you think the more tactically sort of astute and aware managers kind of become unstuck during a major international tournament because they have so little time with their players day to day. You can't instill a particular system or style. It's all up in the air, you know.
Well, it's part of the reason why I think moving on to Group E, why I think Switzerland will do so well.
Omar Hitzfeld.
Yeah,
sure.
Just because he's such a good man. He's been that job for such
a long time. What about the goalkeeper, though, Diego Benaglio? He was seen using strobe glasses in training.
For concentration training, isn't it? Something like that.
Donaldson, you're having that, aren't you?
Some of the matches will be some of the matches will be taking place in raves. It's fine.
Brazil is a party country. It's going to happen.
Very much so.
I look at Group E and think, well, you're looking at probably Switzerland and France to qualify, and people seem to be thinking France have got a great team, which they have. They've got a good midfield, but I think Switzerland is seriously underrated.
They're ranked higher than England and France. They were seeded.
But my point with the manager thing is, Switzerland have got quality throughout the team anyway, I think. If you match up Hitzfeld against Deschamps, who, okay, is a decent manager and stuff, he's managing it in Champions League finals. Hitzfeld's won two Champions League, with Dortmund and Bayern Munich.
Hitzfeld's got a great CV.
He's such a great manager, and I think it can really factor them in. And if they go through, they've got a reasonable draw the next round if they win their group, because they'll probably play Bosnia, and I think they'll win that.
Did you read the Switzerland slogan? We were talking about slogans early on. Their slogan they wanted to put on the side of a bus was, "Final stop, 13th of the 7th, 2014, Maracana." Switzerland.
But I like that it's really typically efficient.
You're not allowed numbers in slogans. That's right. Not allowed.
We've been given a slogan, we need to sort the admin out.
It's like
what is the
misprint.
Best we could do? Yeah.
There's been a misprint on the bus, which is a bad start.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame for Samir Nasri, of course, and his girlfriend that he's not going to be there. He's divided, it's really, really divided opinion. He's very unpopular in France, Samir Nasri. And Deschamps doesn't trust him. He thinks he's a bit of a troublemaker. He wasn't on the bus, though, when
in a squad where some of the players were accused of sleeping with underage prostitutes. And Samir Nasri wasn't involved.
Yeah.
Samir Nasri is unpopular. That gives you a measure of the type of man we're talking about.
But he picks his feet, Luke. It's
It's a shame.
Have you noticed that Nasri's out and Andy Carroll is also out of the squad?
Yeah.
They could get busy.
You never know.
They could have a little sexy holiday away.
If you remember that reference on the podcast.
He says okay, and it then laughs fine, good. Honestly.
Give the people what they want. In Group F, Argentina, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Iran and Nigeria. Shola Ramiobi. Yep. He'll be there, people.
On the plane.
On the plane.
If not
and
on the bus.
You're right, mate.
Yeah, it's just an emotional time for all of us, isn't it?
That is quite an intriguing. You would expect Argentina to come out on top. People have been critical of them at the back. I don't think they're as bad as that. I mean, we had a good laugh with Di Michaelis this season, but he won the Premier League, did he not? And obviously the League Cup as well. Garay's not a bad player for Benfica. Zabaleta's good. You'll have Mascherano in front. They're not that terrible at the back.
But you do get your feeling that this is their last chance. All of the players, I mean, the youngest is like 24. In that squad, it's a ridiculously aged squad. And
also,
I think
they're the one team that can really take advantage of if Brazil buck under the pressure.
Yeah, totally.
Argentina. I mean, second
there's so little reason. Pressure on them in a way because they are in a weird way.
They're going to be
essentially
ignored.
I mean, Di Maria, Messi, Aguero, Lavezzi. Yeah. I mean, it's just
to me, Di Maria is going to have to do some marshalling. No one further than me.
He's
absolutely magnificent.
But then will they be looking at like if they do manage to fail and fall at the first hurdle or whatever? Will people be talking about Tevez? Will people be talking about a couple of other players? Who could have.
Well, the manager hates Tevez.
The Tevez thing's interesting, isn't it? Because the fans love Tevez, but the manager hates him.
That's right.
If you see footage of an Argentinian squad being announced, or the team being announced at an Argentinian game, Tevez will get twice the cheer that Messi will get.
It's the player of the people. That
it's a
risky game to play for the manager.
To leave him out, absolutely.
But he's left him out for a while now, so it's not really a surprise. People knew that was coming. Nigeria, last time I tipped Cameroon to be the best African side, they went out in the first round. But I think Nigeria could be the best African side. Their manager, I think his name's... what's his name?
Stephen Keshi.
Stephen Keshi, thank you. Is an intriguing character. Do look out for Stephen Keshi. He's an absolutely incredible bloke. Being manager of Nigeria is a very, very, very tough job. I mean, their press are far worse than the English press. There's always pay disputes and all sorts. But he's a real, real character. He's not the guy with the cowboy hat. That's a different fella. Under 20. Yeah, that's right.
Or a cowboy.
Yeah, that's Kid Rock. But watch out for Nigeria. They could do something. But Bosnia as well, their first World Cup. I mean, that is a real great story. It'd be great to see Dzeko scoring on the big stage as well.
Dzeko could shine in that group. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Because, again, they're another team with just no pressure on them. They've got some really, really good players in there. It's an adventure for them. And then there'll be. Could you imagine the sort of the pride you would have in yourself if you were representing your country at the first World Cup they'd ever been in? They've just got everything going for them there.
Did Peter Odemwingie make the squad?
He's in. Marvellous stuff.
He's in his car.
Yeah.
At the airport. He's at departure.
Group G, possibly the strongest group, maybe Group B, but Germany, Portugal, Ghana and the US. Landon Donovan's not going, which is a controversial one. That's pretty much a personality clash between him and Jürgen Klinsmann.
That's an even bigger gamble, I think, because...
Five World Cup goals.
Look at the strikers they've got. I mean, Altidore's made the list.
Yeah.
You know, and Donovan, who's got so many caps and so many MLS goals.
I mean, he scored his 135th MLS goal the other week, which makes him the all-time scorer in the MLS.
Mm. It's a weird move from Klinsmann, because it's clearly personal between them, but he's someone with so much experience, both as a player who's played at World Cups and as a manager, that you would think he'd be able to sort of overlook all that and do what's best for the squad.
But in America, Donovan is seen as quite a divisive character.
I think he just saw the group they got and thought, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
And take a couple of months off and then...
No one's expecting anything from me.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Ghana, Kevin Prince-Boateng fancies it again. lest we forget, he retired from international.
Did we get Totti? Did Totti pipe up?
Yeah, he
pipes up around the World Cup. Tonight.
Yeah, but Totti wasn't 24. When he retired from international.
But Totti does like to say, I respect the players that help Italy qualify, but I'm interested.
I'll bring my boots. I mean, Kevin Prince-Boateng is an extraordinary character. He pretty much admitted before the 2010 World Cup that he was turning out for Ghana because he couldn't get a game for Germany. And then he did have a good tournament in South Africa. Then he retires from international football at the age of 24, doesn't play in any of the qualifiers. When they get to a World Cup playoff against Egypt, he registers his interest. He's an unused sub for the first leg, and then comes on with I don't know how long to go in the second leg. He did score, to be fair to him, and he's back in there.
Oh, come on.
Well, hang on.
It's basic, isn't it?
Is that Kevin?
If Roy Keane was here, we wouldn't be able
to.
You're
not getting your
tenner
back.
Dear, oh dear. But yeah, Ghana, I mean, the pop man, Pete, your favourite.
Back.
Yeah,
the pop man isn't Pete. Yeah. The way you said that, it was like it was Pete.
Kevin Prince-Boateng and the pop man, I like to think, hang out together in a cave and they just sort of go into hibernation, wake up. Oh, I fancy it.
Prince, they're on again. What about Germany, eh? Yogi Love, he's had his driver's licence taken off him for 6 months due to a string of violations.
On the Autobahn, there isn't a speed limit.
How fast
was he going?
Light.
How ridiculous is he?
He's not going to be much better to drive in the World Cup, is he?
He's driving a bus.
Maybe he's driving a bus now.
Well, yeah, he did say, of course, I admit that sometimes I drive too fast. I know I need to restrain myself. I've had to live with the consequences, and now I'm using the train more often. That is a consequence of not being able to drive. He should move to London. Nobody drives.
What about Big Sydney Sam?
Ah, Sydney Sam, he didn't make it.
Isn't it? He's just in the saloon on his own.
Banging back shots.
With his cowboy hat on.
Oh, dear.
Talking about broads.
Yeah.
Sydney Sam.
Maybe. Sydney Sad, if you will.
Unbelievable.
That was worse than the other one. The waded in one.
That wasn't off the... No, that was. Close.
You say that, but that's on my running order. Close what?
They didn't read it. Closer will be looking to break Ronaldo's goal-scoring record.
I'm against that.
I'm against it.
Can we have a quick straw poll? Can we cheer if we want that to happen?
There we go.
He's going to care about that, mate.
Yeah.
He's
going to be
absolutely I know. But Germany are one of the favourites, are they not?
Of course. I mean, they really actually have to make something of the talent they have in the squad, because they've been tipped at every tournament for a while now.
That's right.
And there's, again, quite a bit of pressure on them. But it is a magnificently, magnificently talented squad. And I'm just looking forward to watching them. I'm gutted Sydney Sam obviously isn't going to be
just
there.
Klinsmann taking on a German side, it just seems...
Yeah, he's worried that Kevin Prince-Boateng is going to be hanging around the German players when they play. Just let me play
when there's a Sunday League game, one of the teams has got one less player and needs to take a player. They'll take Kevin Prince-Boateng.
Okay, right. Portugal as well, I mean, they could do something.
That is such a tough group, isn't it? That is an absolute nightmare unless you're watching the World Cup, in which case it's brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And the final group is Group H, Belgium, the much-fancied Belgians, Algeria, Russia,
it almost feels like
Korea.
The sort of football hipsters are over Belgium now.
Do you
know what I mean? Like they've stopped being tipped because it's become a cliche.
In the betting, Belgium are fifth favourites.
That's absolutely crazy.
And they'll probably play Portugal or Germany in the second round.
Mm.
And the word, I mean, people have lost their heads.
They haven't qualified.
People have gone like Belgium mad.
Yeah.
I was expecting to see like 50 Belgian shirts in this audience.
Well, it is East London.
Stroop waffles.
Please go
everywhere.
Under there.
That's a tattoo, mate.
Do you reckon Belgium? I mean, they should qualify from that group, should they not? I mean, you know.
They've had a nice draw,
but they don't have much tournament experience. I don't think any of that side have got any tournament experience. Mm-hmm. 2002 was the last time they qualified. It'd be interesting. Russia are a decent side. They topped the group with Portugal, of course.
Who can forget Fabio Capello's outing in the last World Cup?
Yeah, that's right.
He'll be looking to pick up where he left off.
That's true. All the Russian players play in the Russian league, incidentally, which I thought was quite a nice fact. Just me only.
You've not got any notes here about Algeria, mate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Because
I know you can riff on it.
Yeah. I know she missed out Iran as well. That was
I'm looking forward to seeing De Jager, of course, who played well for.
They're mainly German, aren't they?
Are they?
So a couple of Germans, a couple of Dutch, I think, as well.
I think Belgium are.
They've had a good draw in the group, but they've had a poor draw in terms of the second round, what they've got to achieve.
Fifth favourites is just taking advantage of everyone backing them, isn't it?
South Korea is sometimes quite an exciting side to watch, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you would expect Belgium and Russia to qualify from that group, would you not?
I think South Korea are going to make it interesting, though.
I think Germany and Portugal would just be too canny for Belgium. I can't see them getting past that. I know a few people think they'll probably get past Portugal, but I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I think Paulo Bento's too switched on. He doesn't take that many risks. He's very on it, do you know what I mean? Yep. I think he could steer them past the Belgium.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm going to go for Belgium, South Korea. There you go.
Oh, yeah, there we are. You've heard it here first.
This podcast never going out.
That's right, yeah. We won't talk, we'll do the predictions and all that kind of stuff in next week's podcast.
I'm doing them now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can do that little prediction there. Off the field, there's a lot of stuff going off the field, as we said before. Romario will be a man to watch, certainly.
You didn't think we were going to do a World Cup bit and not mention Romario. That was never going to happen.
Well, he called FIFA General Secretary.
I don't think we could mention more if he was a player.
No.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. He called Valka a blackmailer, set Blatter corrupt.
He called him a corrupt thief and a son of a whore.
That was the full quote, yeah.
You're selling it short there, man.
Yeah, he was having a go at Ronaldo as well. And then recently I saw a headline where Romario and Bebeto are having an argument. And I thought, this is great stuff, isn't it?
Those guys have got their slander lawyers on speed dial.
Indeed. Absolutely marvellous stuff. Now, you may remember in a previous ramble, we talked about Ronaldo putting his house up for rent and Sepp Blatter is going to go in there. I think it was his apartment. It was something like, you know,
he's gone down my estimation.
$400,000.
I'm now closer to take his record.
To be fair, he's getting like, what was it, a few hundred grand for renting his place out to Blatter.
He doesn't need it.
He's fleecing Blatter. Is that not quite admirable?
No, because Blatter's got his money from someone else. Yeah.
Do you remember him in the gold suit on the float at the carnival?
Okay, fine.
All forgiven.
Yeah,
well, Ronaldinho's getting in on the act. His house is up for rent during the World Cup. It has 5 bedrooms and 6 bathrooms. You'd imagine he's a man who loves a jacuzzi.
Yeah. Why more bathrooms than bedrooms?
Allegedly.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Ronaldinho, he wrote in the listing, in case you are thinking of this, "I won't be in Rio at the time, but I will leave..."
Well, that's a surprise to me.
Yeah. The biggest party.
He's not going to be in Rio for the World Cup.
To be fair, he could wake up anywhere. I think that's probably what he's thinking.
If you said to me, give me a list of one person that's going to be in Rio for the World Cup... I would say Ronaldinho.
But the party might be in Salvador up north. That's quite a lively town. Yeah. But he said, "I will leave instructions with members of my team who will be available whenever you need them. I love this. The details can be finalised by text message." Who's got his number?
Is this just on Airbnb?
Yeah.
Incredibly trusting.
He said, "Please consider the neighbours." Yeah, I bet he does.
"Don't touch my computer."
That is a rabbit hole you do not want to go down. No.
You'd be looking to get it open.
Yeah. Come on. $15,000 a night, that place will cost you. $15,000 a night. Absolutely.
Expensive Wi-Fi, that.
Yeah.
Oh, the flat. Okay.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, before we wrap up, any more comments about World Cup or anything, chaps?
No, that's it.
World Cup?
No. Yeah, you understand what it is now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you with us for the first Ramble Live in the Arcola tent. Before we go, I will leave you, of course, with the wise words that were sung by Ronaldinho and DJ Dennis on the track Let's Drink. "Boot the glass up high, let's drink. We will enjoy life, we drink. I'm full of money, let's drink." We've been a football ramble, you've been marvellous. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.